will entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
They're drive-in theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. It is April 8th, 2024. It is Eclipse Day. It's Eclipse Day. You're tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box podcast. I'm going to put my Eclipse glasses on from earlier today. And yeah, you're here. You're tuned in. We're going to be talking to you about movies like we always do. I can't see anything. And you would think that the studio lights, I guess they are not as bright as the sun. But yeah, got my Eclipse glasses on. Got my Eclipse necklace on. I don't know, for those of you at home, can't see what this is. Jake, do you know what this is?
I don't. I saw your post about it.
You don't know what this is?
It's a devil face.
It's the Baylet of Kings. And if you are familiar with Berserk, this is the necklace that Griffith wears. And during the eclipse, it aligns, opens its mouth and eyes, starts weeping, and opens a portal into a demon dimension.
Where's your weeb button, bro?
It's right here.
Nope. Nope.
There it is. And yeah, anyway, so I was wearing this hoping that, you know, everyone would be sacrificed so that I could have infinite power. But it didn't work out that way, but I wore the necklace anyway. But yes, it is Eclipse Day. I'm your host, Bo, the boom operator.
No, I'm the grip.
And yeah, we got a show for you today. And as Bizzlebubba Ding Dong on Twitch said, a portal opened up and you make whoopee with monsters.
That sounds like Berserk.
None of those things happened today, unfortunately. But we did see, if you're listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, wherever it is you listen to podcasts or Facebook, YouTube, Live, or Twitch, where you watch us each week, we were in very, very close to the path of totality. Like, we were like a 91% zone. We could have driven like an hour and 40 minutes south and been in.
Lots of people did.
Yes, they did. But I just went out on my patio and at work and watched, you know, had my Eclipse glasses and ate a Jimmy John's sandwich that was completely wrong. And then, you know, we saw the eclipse, and it was cool, man. What were you doing during the eclipse, Jake?
Working.
You didn't go outside?
Yeah, we went outside and looked at it and everything.
Did you have eclipse glasses?
I did. Yeah, I got me some, and I watched it become the sliver that moved from the left to the top to the right. Since we didn't get the full totality, there was always just there was a little sliver there the whole time.
Totality. Yeah. Mark Landry on YouTube says that we drove out into totality and it was totally worth it. That's pretty cool. Velvet Sand on Twitch says that he burned the sensors on one of his 360 degree cameras.
You can't have it pointing at the sun, man.
Yeah. Mark Landry on YouTube said partway eclipsed is like partway pregnant. Well, I mean, we were mostly there. We were mostly pregnant. It was still very cool, and I mean, I wish that we were a little bit more in the totality zone. I think that would have been really neat, but
man, not for the tourist part of it. Everyone that did drive out of the way, I heard that like even like a Mickey D's sweet tea was selling for $8.
That should be illegal, man.
In Russellville,
it's funny that the things that they'll be like, nope, can't do that, and then other things that they're like, supply and demand. You know, ugh, economics, man, capitalism, it's worst. Well, you remember when AMC wanted to do surge pricing on seating and like...
Mm-hmm. The world was like,
no, you can't do that. But then everybody else is like, well, we're going to charge $8 for a sweet tea in the path of Total. And they go, make your money, capitalism, dog, supply and demand. Houses are $500,000 now. And yeah, that's awful. Yeah, so did you get to see any movies this week, Jake?
Monkey Man.
You saw Monkey Man?
I sure did.
Well, I wanted to and didn't get a chance to see it, so you will be talking about Monkey Man later in the show.
I went early so I could watch WrestleMania last night,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Well, give us the recap on WrestleMania. Was it cool? Did you have a fun time?
Oh, man. Well, it's two nights. It lasts forever. Saturday was pretty good. you know, there were some decent matches out there. The main event was very, very good, but that was because it was The Rock, it was Cody Rhodes, it was Roman Reigns, it was Seth Rollins. It was amazing. And then night two, every match on the card was awful, and I hated everything.
Until it
got to the main event.
All that stuff is scripted and pre-written and preordained, right?
Yeah, so are movies. You can still hate.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but it's like, how is it that so much of part one was great and then you hated all of part two?
Well, because it was different matches, man. They split them up, okay. You know. It opened up with the title match with Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre won, which was kind of a given after the events of the evening of night one, because Seth Rollins just got beaten to death and had his bad knee worked really hard. But then as soon as McIntyre won, him and CM Punk had some beef. I hate everything about CM Punk. I think he's a doucher. But it's clear. He makes that clear. I hate everything about him. But then he attacked Drew McIntyre with a weapon.
What kind of weapon? Like a chair?
A brace that he was wearing on his arm. He took it off and used it as a weapon. Yeah. And then as soon as he beat him up, then here comes Damian Priest to cash in his money in the bank. And that was set the tone for the show. It was garbage until the very... main event match.
Well,
the street match, yeah, the street match was dumb. Bubba Ray Dudley was cool, but you know, it was very.
So, what was better, the Eclipse at 91% or night two of WrestleMania? That sounds like it's a pretty tough call.
The main event of WrestleMania was exciting. It was worth it for the main event, but night one was okay. Night two, the main event was what all that mattered, and it succeeded on both nights.
On Twitch, we got a comment from Bizzle Bubba Ding Dong that says, "What does CM stand for? Those are stupid initials. Just call yourself Charles Montgomery Punk." Like, what does CM stand for?
I don't remember. I don't like the guy, so I mean, I don't remember. It's Chicago something.
Well, that's even more dumb. Well, all right. Well, you caught WrestleMania. It's a thing. It's been done.
WrestleMania is live action. Wrestling is live action cinema. So I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. It told stories, and you know, there were letdowns and plot twists and action scenes and whatever it is that wrestling provides.
Well, right on. Well, let's hit the news, because it was a news, and it was a week. We did the things. A lot of stuff got announced, like a new Matrix movie coming from director Drew Goddard, which seemed kind of odd. The Joker 2 getting an R rating because it's got nudity in it, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, finally a Batman movie with nudity, full nudity.
It's gonna be Joaquin Phoenix hanging dong real hard.
Nobody wants to see. He's like skinny and just swinging it. Maybe puts like a clown nose on the tip of it. And he's like, no one wants to see that. Did you guys see the still images released for the first look of Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride, which is, you know, a retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein? It shows Christian Bale.
I saw that.
As Frankenstein monster, but also like edgy and with tattoos.
I didn't see the tattoos. I saw he was like looking down, and I saw the.
Yeah, he's got like a tattoo of hope on his chest, and you know, he's wearing like, you know, a blazer and a hoodie and looking like a cool punk Frankenstein. So you gotta appeal to them kids, man.
It's the Jared Leto Joker of Frankenstein.
Yes. Absolutely. 100%. So saw that. But you know, sign me up. I'm a Frankenstein. Any Universal Monsters retelling, I'm gonna be okay with
that. That new Lisa Frankenstein movie is available on streaming now.
It is. Did you see that? You can check it out wherever it is you like to VOD your movies. That's a thing you can do. There was also the Bambi The Reckoning teaser trailer that came out. If you have been following the sort of public domain Disney horror movie, like the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey versed that is coming out, so there's a they're promising a sequel and a third of that, and now a Bambi movie, and then maybe like a murderous Tinkerbell movie, and they're just going full on murder movie, blah blah blah. But the Bambi the Reckoning trailer is out there right now. You can take a look at that. Did you have any things that you had written down?
Oh yeah, man.
Other than one other thing I wanted to say, Legendary announced officially Dune 3 in development.
Yep, that was one of the things I had there too. Yeah, Deadline reported that they were like, yeah, we're definitely going to make a Dune 3. It makes too much money.
Can't stop the money. Got to keep the spice flowing.
Especially because part two ended with like Paul taken to the stars to go wax people. Mm-hmm. He's like, follow me, saying to people, we're gonna go beat them up.
Oh yeah. Oh so, yeah. Oh, and as Logan pointed out on Facebook, she said the Maxine trailer just dropped today as well, which is the third part of the X trilogy that's out there. So it's
Still with Mia Goth there. Mm-hmm. Is she playing a different character or the same one? Because it said that she's being stalked character. By like a it's in the serial 80s. Killer.
So this is in the 80s. So there's no way it could be the same character. So it's a different. It's her playing probably a descendant of the girl that was in. Who knows?
No, because the first one, X, takes place in like the 70s or 80s?
60s or 70s, one of the two. And but then the Maxine, that one takes place in like the 50s.
Because she's the old lady. The old
lady, yeah.
But this one, she's.
I don't know. Well,
maybe it's how she became the. I don't know. You watched the horror movies,
I did watch the first two. Yeah, I sure did.
Talking about gory, bloody, cool trailers, new Indian movie Kill had its trailer released, and it's being advertised as the goriest movie in Indian cinematic history.
Meaning like a little bit of blood?
No, dude, it's an action thriller trailer set on a train. Like this woman's kidnapped or whatever, and this guy just goes through this train killing all of these thugs or delinquents or whatever, and the whole trailer is just him like racking up a body count of like 35 dudes, and he just like stabs them and cuts them open and beats them to death and stuff. It actually looks super rad. It's just a guy on a train beating up bad guys to try and rescue the girl. It looks sick. Super stoked about it. There was also a trailer for Pushpa 2 released, another Indian movie that's coming out. This is going to be one of the highest budgeted Indian movies that's ever been made. $60 million. Isn't it crazy that like the budgets on their films, Godzilla Minus Zero was like a $13 million inflated budget, and Japan just hit it out the park. And Indian movies like Bahubali or whatever can make things look really cool on budgets of like $40 to $50 million. This one being one of the most expensive Indian movies at $60 million, and then we're over here making $250 million budgets before advertising and release, and they can't get crazy. The CGI right. Like Flash looks god awful, and that movie cost so many dollars.
Well, speaking of all the money, you saw the Disney setting a couple of big release dates. They set the theatrical Mandalorian and Grogu movie, which is completely stupid and unnecessary, coming out May 22nd, 2026. But also setting an official date for Tron Ares, which is coming out on October 10th, 2025.
Yeah, that was one of the things I had too.
As well as Toy Story 5, which they're aiming at June 2026.
Yeah, June 19th, 26. The last Toy Story came out in 2019. Also talking Disney too, the live-action Moana got pushed back a year. So it's now also going to be in June of 26 rather than sometime this year, I think, is what they were aiming, or next year is what they're aiming for. So,
Disney.
Toy Story and Moana coming out within like a week and a half of each other.
That seems like they should be competing with themselves. They need to, they'll probably reassess that, because 2026 is a ways away. So,
maybe. You know what else?
What's that?
Adam Sandler said that he is working on a Happy Gilmore sequel.
I don't. No. No.
I mean, what's the story there? Because, you know, he bought Grandma her house back.
Yeah. He won. He scored the girl. Yeah.
You know, Chubbs is looking down on him from heaven when he's not helping out little Nikki and his mom.
I just don't. I mean, so Adam Sandler continues to be this sort of... He'll swing into my good graces with things like Hubie Halloween and then Uncut Gems. And then even that movie that just came out not too long ago on Netflix, Spaceman, I kind of enjoyed that. And then I'll hear news of like Happy Gilmore 2, you know, and I'm just like, how about a nice warm glass of Shut the Hell Up? Like, that we don't need this. We don't need that news.
Well, speaking of warm glass of Shut the Hell Up. Yeah, Velvet Santa saying Happy Gilmore 2, Revenge of the Nursing Home Orderly. Was it Hubie Halloween that Ben Stiller made?
He was back as the nursing home orderly. Yeah. He did not ask anybody to make a quilt or shut the hell up. But
you can trouble me for a tall glass of shut the hell up, a warm glass of shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a good character. I don't know. Like... Adam Sandler always finds a way to make me laugh somehow, but a sequel like this, unless he's just so aware of what a bad idea this is, and he's just going to lean into that, then, and maybe Adam Sandler is a smart enough dude to take advantage of that. I don't know. So, pretty weird.
Yeah, super weird, but, you know.
And they're, you know, they're
Netflix probably going to give him $3 billion to do it.
Of course. Is this still a part of his Netflix deal that he signed in COVID?
It's bound to be. I mean, Adam Sandler and Netflix are, you know.
Because he had a several picture deal with Netflix that he had to do X number of movies. That's how we got the something eight, the Idiotic Eight, or what was the name of that movie? With the donkey that farted.
I know the one you're talking about.
Or six.
The ridiculous.
Ridiculous eight. Six or redonkulous fart or whatever it was. That was a part of it. I'm guessing Spaceman's a part of it. I'm guessing Hubie Halloween was a part of it. And I can't remember any of the other ones he did. But anyway, let's see other things in the news that I noticed. A24. This actually kind of segues into what's coming out this weekend. If you have any other things you want to jump in on the news segment.
Just the Fly Me to the Moon trailer was released. Apple Movies making a movie about how they think the moon landing was faked or something like that. So,
because it was.
Really?
Who was filming them take the first steps? Because then wouldn't they have taken the first steps?
I'm sure you could Google it to look it up.
Yep. Nobody thought about that one back then. We were just so amazed. There's a lot. When you start really breaking it down, not a lot of stuff makes sense.
I'm sure when you start really breaking it down, there's a bunch of science and reports.
That doesn't add up.
That totally
plot holes.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, like, they did the lunar landing lander shot a camera that set itself up and framed it just so they could get back in there and take one step out, bounce around. Plant the stick. Yeah, man, I don't buy that shit. I don't buy it at all. No one's landed on that fucking moon.
I think there's...
No, we've landed on it since then, but...
I was about to say, there's more nations that all the time are...
I don't know, dude. I mean, think about it.
I'm pretty sure the moon's...
Think about it.
All right.
Anyway, I think the moon landing was fake, man. I'm one of those guys. I don't believe it. Seems too convenient.
You being serious right now?
Yes, I'm being serious.
There's no way.
Being a little bit facetious, but mostly serious. Anyway. So I guess we'll just jump into what's coming out in the theaters this weekend, because one of the pieces of news that I wanted to talk about was Alex Garland's new movie, Civil War. Civil War is coming out this weekend in theaters, probably one of the most anticipated movies that is coming out this theater or this week in the theater. But, you know, one of the things that makes this interesting is the fact that this is A24's most expensive movie ever. They're kind of aiming for a box office breakdown or a box office smash, because they spent $50 million on this movie, which is a lot for A24, man. This movie, Civil War, if you haven't seen it, Alex Garland talked a little bit about it in the pre-show. But Alex Garland, if you don't know what he did, he was the writer and director of Ex Machina, which came out in 2014. 28 Days Later, if you guys remember that one, back in 2002. Annihilation, that came out in 2018. And then Men, which came out in 2022. All of these are kind of odd movies. All of these kind of deal with the end of the world. They kind of deal with some, you know, big ideas. I really liked Ex Machina and 28 Days Later. Men was a little, I don't know, I just didn't, by the end of that movie, I was kind of over it. It was more shock and awe for that and less, like, message for me. And Annihilation kind of did a little bit of the same thing. Like, to me, it didn't feel like it stuck the landing. But with Civil War, this isn't really a science fiction movie. This is a fiction movie, but it is about California and Texas rising up against the government, and there is now a civil war here in the United States. It's starring Nick Offerman, who plays the president, and Kirsten Dunst, who plays this reporter, who is kind of following a team of military embedded journalists as they're kind of going across the country to get to D.C. before all these California and Texas rebel factions descend upon the White House. It's as Velvet sent on Twitch said, political science fiction. So, you know, as Tony Jones just said on Twitch, he said it really looks like it hits on topics that could be a reality after the election. I think that this movie is very appropriately timed after, and I'm sure it was sparked by the January insurgency that lives in infancy. But, you know, going to be really interesting to see this on the screen. So I'm looking forward to this movie. You know, I'll watch Nick Offerman do anything. He was in town filming something here in Fayetteville.
He was, yeah, him and Dennis Quaid.
That is correct. And there is a Dennis Quaid movie also coming out in theaters this week. We can go ahead and talk about that. It's called The Long Game. It's coming out from director Julio Quintana. It's set in 1955, based on a true story of these five young Mexican-American caddies that were in high school, and they loved golf so much that they created their own golf course in the middle of South Texas desert and actually went on to win, I think, the 1957, like, something high school golf, whatever. But they were not, you know, welcomed by, you know, affluent white America in the 50s. They're like, you know, Mexicans carry our bags. They can't play golf. And then they proved them wrong, you know. And based on a true story, looks pretty interesting, but also starring Dennis Quaid and Cheech Marin is popping up in that one. So that one's coming out in theaters this week. Also coming out in theaters this week, there's two other movies. There's one it's called The Arcadian. I don't necessarily think this is going to get a wide release, but it is starring Nicolas Cage and Maxwell Jenkins. You may remember Maxwell Jenkins if you want to get some of those up-and-comer emotes. He was the kid in Lost in Space and some other things, but mostly the kid in Lost in Space. He was Will in that. So that it's kind of a horror movie, again, about the end of the world and aliens out there, or monsters or something, trying to get this family in there. They're boarded up in a house and gonna fight back. But then also coming out, and I don't know if this is going to get wide release because it's a BET original movie, but the remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
What?
Did you not hear about this?
Yeah. No.
So
don't do that.
Yes, it is. It's got June Squibb playing the babysitter. She's a pretty hilarious old lady, and a lot of up and comers in the cast here playing this pretty, I wouldn't say cut and dry remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, but it is kind of a reimagining of that movie where, you know, this group, the parents go away for an extended vacation. The babysitter's there. The babysitter dies. And the oldest, the girl of the family, she has to, like, take on responsibilities, you know, to keep the family from falling apart. You know, dishes still got to get cleaned. Laundry still has to get done. The kids got to get fed. And it's a story about how, like, at first, you know, kids thinking like, oh yeah, parties, we got all this stuff to do. And then they kind of really appreciate how much work their parents actually have to do to take care of them and all that kind of stuff. And so by the end of the story, the kids have, you know, really respect their parents and have learned a lot through growth and responsibility and not with a lot of without a lot of house party scenes. So Don't Tell Bob, The Babysitter's Dead remake coming out in...
I don't see anyone going to watch that.
I mean, why not? Why not? Did I say it lives in infancy? Lives in infamy? I don't know. I'm catching up in the comments, and it's looking really hilarious. Velvet Santa says, the dishes are done, dude. That is also in this trailer. So that's coming out in theaters. And let's see what else. I think that's everything else is pretty limited release. But Civil War is going to be the big one. So be on the lookout for that. Everybody's going to be talking about that. And Alex Garland movies are not usually for everyone. This is what I was saying in the pre-show earlier. I mean, his movies can be really, really hit or miss. So, yeah, I don't know. Night Owl, she said she just told the girl about this, said she wasn't interested. I know she's going to want to see it now. There we go. Those are your releases for this weekend, the weekend of April 11th, 12th, 13th, you know. Movies are coming out. You can check any of those out. All right. Well, that brings us up to the it's time to review a movie part of the show. And since I didn't get to see a movie this weekend, I just found out that Jake saw Monkey Man.
And I sure did.
Monkey Man's the new film directed by Dev Patel, who helped co-write it, also starring in this movie. And I don't know anybody that doesn't necessarily like Dev Patel. And Jake,
yeah, take it away. So Monkey Man is an action revenge movie, kind of.
Which everybody loves a revenge movie.
Yeah, about a guy, an unnamed man, who is working his way through the underground of this, like, Indian city so that he can get revenge on the people that, attacked his village or whatever. And you find that out through the movie. They act like it's a big reveal at some point, but it's very clear and obvious at the, you know, the first inkling that that's kind of like his thing. It gives little flashbacks here and there, and then at some point it gives you a much longer flashback that fleshes that out, that, you know, doesn't really tell you anything you couldn't have figured out already. But it's this guy on a warpath of revenge to take out several people that had wronged him when he was a child, because he was a survivor of this forced exodus of this town. And it was like a conspiracy with the, like, religious figures, local police, people that are able to influence,
like, crooked others. Cop stuff.
Crooked cops, exactly. And it has all of the elements to be a pretty cool, exciting revenge movie, and it misses on all of them. It's not John Wick. A lot of people were like, leading up to this, thinking, is it going to be John Wick? It's not at all. It's this guy who's like an underground fighter, and that's partly because that's how he's paying his way. They're all rigged fights. It's done like professional wrestling, but UFC mixed, where all of the fights are fixed, but they're hitting for real. Because he pays them a blood bonus. So the more real they make it, the more money they make. But all of the winners are determined ahead of time by the promoter. Yeah, and that's played by Sholto Copley, the dude from District 9 and Chappie. And he's very much his character from Hardcore Henry in this.
Okay, in a way. All right.
Yeah. His like multi
sleazy
whatever his character in Hardcore Henry was, where he was just over the top all the time every time you saw him, but he was a different person every time you saw him at the same time. That's his character in this movie. And you know, I like revenge movies. I'm excited about that Kill movie I told you guys about earlier. I grew up just loving every time there was a Death Wish marathon on TV or something like that. Anything that's this like action revenge, like sign me up. I like that kind of movie, but this movie misses on all of it. And it's,
which is weird because I thought that you would absolutely love this because you like revenge movies and you like Bollywood stylings.
From the
like,
trailers, it would seem that you would, but they try to pack too much of it in. I did read an article today that there are many deleted scenes and an alternate movie or ending for this movie.
Oh, no kidding.
So the studio, I think studios kind of got involved on some of this and changed what maybe Dev Patel had planned here. It might have been a longer movie and they cut it down to be 2 hours instead of like a more traditional Indian movie that would be around 3 hours or so. His revenge doesn't really make a lot of sense for some of the people he's taking it out on. And he doesn't do a great job of getting there at any point in the movie. It's just, I don't know. It's not all there. Some of it needs better explanation and some of it they go too far into for to have any kind of satisfying payoff when he finally gets there. So there was a lot of disappointment in this for what I was expecting. And you know, everything you're going to read on it and everything he's talked about on it, Dev Patel has, is that it's supposed to be like this guy that's fighting for underdogs or poor people.
Well, that's like the story of the monkey, right? Is he's this.
Well, so the story is Hanuman.
Right, yeah, who was like a protector of whatever, right?
They change how Hanuman is for their own purposes in this
okay.
movie. There's a little bit of them doing like a Ramayana puppet show, but instead of making it Rama, they have the hero of it being Hanuman. And it's kind of just like that was his last memory, was his mom talking to him about Hanuman and seeing it in a show before his village was attacked and his mom was killed and his whole world was ripped away from him. So that might just be his interpretation of who and what Hanuman is, I guess. I don't know. But there's some decent action scenes in the movie, but they're all sloppy because he's just a guy. You know, there's nothing special about him. He goes through one training montage of punching like a bag of rice. And I just don't think it hit what it wanted to. I don't think he really was a hero of the downtrodden or poor people. You know, there's this whole temple
of... He was just beating people up.
Yeah, there's this whole temple of not necessarily trans, but... cross-dressing people... Because, you know, there's Shiva in the form of half man and half woman and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think this is going to be the exposure to American audiences of that kind of thing for the first time. But this is something that I've seen in like the last 3 or 4 Indian movies I've watched. There was definitely a Superstar Rajnikanth movie. There was definitely a Balakrishna movie where that happened. And there was another one. There was a... there was a Bollywood movie with what's his name? The dude from Fighter.
I didn't watch any of those movies.
A lot of the time, these trans community people in these Indian movies are shown as like super badass fighters that always come to the aid of like the hero of the movie. And I think this is going to take on a life of its own in this being in a bigger, like an English speaking film or whatever. But it doesn't, other than them getting some character to them, nothing else is really there. A lot of characters go unexplored, or his reasons for hating them aren't really there when he eventually waxes them, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
That's a bummer.
There's a lot of blood, and there's a lot of broken glass, but it's more hollow than what I wanted it to be.
Well, that's a bummer because it's in theaters right now.
It's in theaters now. Yeah. We're probably going to tell you that it's a number two movie here in a second.
Yes.
Yep. You know, it's not a bad movie, but there's nothing there that makes it where I would ever care to watch it again. There's not anything there where in the theater I was like, yeah, you know, like get amped on action.
It's just people getting punched on.
It's just people getting punched and stabbed once in a while. And there wasn't any connection to any of the characters except for the guy that led this one temple. And other than that, everyone else is kind of sidetracked and you don't get enough of anybody except for one of the bad guys.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So overall, I was disappointed because it wasn't at all what I was expecting, and it I feel like it let me down in most of the spots where it was really wanting to do something.
Well, that's a bummer about Monkey Man. I might still go watch it. There's other movies that are coming out that I'm gonna want to see.
It's a slower paced bloody action movie until you get to like the very end, and then it's just like one big fight.
The trailer made it look like it was very fast paced, but nah. We'll see. All right, well, yeah, that's out in theaters right now. You could go check it out if and you wanna. It's out there. There we go, Monkey Man. Velvet Santa said he got a free Monkey Man poster at the Movie Tavern. At Movie Tavern. What's Movie Tavern? That sounds fun. Let's see. Any other comments out there? Vince on Twitch was saying, hear me out. A Wolverine John Wick crossover. John Schnicked. Okay. Speaking of Vince, he is our Twitch mod and also one of our Discord mods. And every time we do one of these shows on Monday nights, it carries over to a movie night on our Discord channel. If you want to follow us over there, you can drop that link. It's in the chat. You can find it over on our description of our channel. Always a under 90 minute movie, so perfect runtime. You can jump in there and chit chat. Vince just dropped the Discord link right there, and our Discord is free. It's not one of those behind a paywall, subscriber only, Patreon only. You can come in there, have a good time. We're not going to charge you. It's fun. It's free. And we're going to be watching a movie tonight. It's under 100 minutes. So, yeah, you've got – anybody can do it. Anybody's got 100 minutes. So, all right. Well, with all that said, I guess let's jump into the box office. That is generally what we do at this time. If we're not reviewing a second movie, I haven't really gotten any new movies. I mean, I watched the new Dimitri Martin comedy special, which was really funny on Netflix.
Man, you've been running through those comedy specials.
Yeah, they're there, but they're, you know, you're like an hour, and they're fun to watch. Caught up on Shogun, which is pretty fun and good. Nothing else that Drew over on YouTube asks, what movie tonight? I'll let Vince respond to that one. It's usually a random number generator. We've got a whole list of 100 minute movies that we all like, and I want to say today the I can't remember the choices, but Vince will throw them up there, and then he does a random number generator that'll pick those movies. Last week I think it was Blair Witch Project, which was viewed. So fun stuff. You never know what you're going to get, but it's always going to be under 100 minutes. And generally a good movie. We don't put crappy movies in those things. Vince says, the three possible movies this week are The Naked Gun, Groundhog's Day, and Death Trap. So all fun movies. Groundhog Day's great. Naked Gun's great. Death Trap, a movie I have not thought about in forever. That's Christopher Reeve, I believe. I believe in the Reeve. So, anyway, those are your options. But let's get the box office out of the way, shall we? The box office roundup for the weekend of April 5th through 7th, 2024. Jake is going to give you the top 10 movies in the United States. We'll report on some worldwide numbers for some of these bigger movies, but not all movies get a worldwide release. And but the domestic totals are how we track what's going to be making sequels, what we're going to see more of. So number 10, take it away, Jake.
At number 10, in its second week out from Sony.
Oh, God.
Wow, it hit me. Second week out from Sony, climbing from the 26th spot. Hey, how about that? Wicked Little Letters, $1.3 million brought in by that one. It's only in 1,000 theaters. It gained all but five of those this week. So it's
total so far is 1.4. So maybe that one will go somewhere from here.
We'll see.
Who knows? And coming in above it at number 5, Immaculate. 1.4 brought in by that one. It's been out for 3 weeks, bringing it up to 14.1.
It's pretty good. I caught it. It's spooky. It's creepy. It's a little, it's been out for 3 weeks, so I didn't think to give it a whole review, but it's a creepy little movie. It's very much in that like religion horror where it's, you know, it does one interesting, I don't want to say, someone's like, oh, it has such a twist ending. It does not have a twist ending. If you've ever seen any movie about religion horror, you know, the one thing that they do in this movie that is different than, say, like a Rosemary's Baby or The Omen or something like this, it's like, it's not a cult of Satanists masquerading as priests. It's priests thinking that they're going to artificially inseminate these women and give birth to Jesus, and they believe that's what they're doing. And there's a biologist that turns priest, and they had found one of the spikes that, you know, Jesus was crucified with, and with modern technology they ran it through and found a speck of blood. And so with that speck of blood, they tried to DNA sequence and then artificially inseminate these nuns in Italy at this convent, and are trying to give birth to a clone of Jesus. And and of course there's a big cover up, and Sydney Sweeney's the one that's carrying the new, you know, experiment. It's creepy. It's weird. It's shot well. Would I watch it again? No. Would I recommend it as like a terrifying horror movie? No. As Mark Landry just said on YouTube, Jurassic Christ.
Jesus DNA.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, you know, it's, if you're into that sort of thing, like you might like it. It ends in the way that you would think a horror movie with a final girl would end. Everybody's like, twist ending. There was nothing twist about this ending. If you've ever seen any movie with a final girl, or B, religious horror. So
is it like that one with the blind dude, and they take the baster and make him
kind of, yeah, a little bit. But yeah, anyway, that was number 9. Number 8.
Yeah, above it at number 8, a movie I still need to watch. And this weekend, maybe I'll make that work, since it won't be Warhammer Anniversary Weekend or WrestleMania. Arthur the King, 4th week out, $1.5 million brought in by it. $22.2 million so far on that one. Based on a true story, Mark Wahlberg, dog, and Simu Liu, is that who's in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So doesn't look bad, but you know, based on a true story.
I don't think it was doing the box office performance that they thought it was going to. It's already retreating from theaters pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then opening at number 7, Someone Like You, just under $3 million brought in by that one. It's a Fathom event, only in 1800 theaters, so might be a hard one to catch. So who knows how? I never know what's a good gauge on like a Fathom event.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, it was only in 1800, made $3 million. No one knew
about it. Fathom's been getting a lot of steam though. They've been getting out there.
And then at number 6, Dune Part 2 just had their sequel announced. $7.4 million this last week, bringing it in the U.S. up to 265. Across the globe, another $400 million, bringing it to $665.5 million in its 6 weeks out in the theaters. And then above it at number 5, Kung Fu Panda 4, 5 weeks out, $7.77 million, 166 in the U.S., another 243 across the world, $410 million for Kung Fu Panda.
How did that movie almost get into the half billion club?
Good on its Lord. Fourth one. I mean, that's why we're getting like Toy Story 5. Used to, these sequels were direct to video.
And somehow Ghostbusters is struggling, and Kung Fu Panda 4 just taking in all the money. I don't get it.
Maybe it's like a semi-decent newish idea instead of just bringing back old crap. Now, hold on a second. The trailer for Kung Fu Panda 4 is them bringing literally telling you they're bringing back old crap. Who knows? Opening at number four, one that I've been reading they are not stoked about. From Walt Disney Studios, The First Omen.
Just rolling out with an Omen prequel.
$8.3 million brought in by that one. It has another $9 million across the world, so that's okay,
I didn't expect. I didn't expect yet.
It's just weird to say from Walt Disney, Omen. You know? Like, how did Disney come into ownership of the Omen? Well, is that Fox?
That's under Fox. James over on Facebook asks a really interesting question. He says, why doesn't Disney just open their own theaters, cut out the middleman, Disney Forever? That's because there was a famous 1935, don't quote me, in the 30s ruling where it was, I want to say MGM Grand, I think it was MGM. It was an antitrust suit essentially, where they said, you know, these film studios were building their own theaters and only showing their own movies, and they're like, well, that's not fair. So Disney and some other people have tried to overturn that very, very famous Supreme Court ruling that has protected a lot of theater chains and stuff throughout the years of holding us hostage with their movies in their theaters. But I think it was in 2020, 2021, when COVID was really, really hitting hard, and all these big streaming platforms were going, you know, let's abandon Netflix, let's abandon Amazon and start our own streaming platforms because theaters are dead. They were like, but we have to figure out how to overturn this ruling because they wanted to make their own theaters. And I think that they have reinterpreted that law to where they can do the streaming services with their own content, but that law has been protecting a lot of things, and my God, if it gets overturned, we are all doomed. So anyway, to answer your question, that is why they don't, and I hope they never do, because it'd be the beginning of the end. So number three.
Yeah, number three, coming in above Disney's failing First Omen. Paramount. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, $9 million brought in by that one in its 3 weeks out, only at $88.9 million. Better than what I would have expected another Ghostbusters movie to do after the last two, but worse than what I'm sure they expected and paid to have that movie made. That one across the world has brought in only another $49
million. 138.
So not doing great there. And then opening at the number two spot in 3,000 theaters, bringing in $10 million, Monkey Man. Again, it's not bad. It's definitely not a movie that you have to watch, and it's not a must-see theater movie. So this movie was made to be released on Netflix, and then the whole produced by Jordan Peele thing is because Peele saw it and was like, no, we should get this in theaters and not leaving it up to streaming. So this was a movie that was made for streaming.
It was a Netflix, yeah. I think it was Universal rescued it from Netflix for almost nothing.
Yeah, and I feel like this is definitely more of a streaming feel to it. It's not like a big theater movie. It doesn't have any kind of grand graphics or sound quality to it that you have to see in the theater. In fact, some of the CGI in it is very poor and easily distinguished on a big screen. So I think it's not bad, but there's just a lot of shortcomings there that we'll see what these deleted scenes and alternate ending are, because I did not like the ending either. But it does leave it open to a sequel, of course.
Of course.
And then at number one, holding the top spot, Godzilla X Kong New Empire, $31.2 million. Is that as much as everything below it made almost?
Yeah, pretty much.
Bringing its grand total in the U.S. in 2 weeks to $134.5 million. $361 with the international market added into it.
And we reviewed this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, this one's not, I mean,
it's dumb. It's not bad.
It's super dumb. It's not bad.
It's just dumb.
It's made of nothing but plot holes and inconsistencies. There's nothing but incongruities. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And if you want to hear us bitch about it for about 33 minutes, you could tune into last week's episode. You can download it wherever it is you download your podcast. If you don't want to watch the the video stream. You can get the audio version of this. But if you do like watching this video and getting into the comments, like you can see here on the screen, if you cast this to your TV, it's like a whole nother experience. You can see all the comments from everybody on Facebook and Twitch and YouTube, and you can participate every week, Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. We like Twitch. If you are a follower or a subscriber on our Twitch, you can get access to the Twitch pre-show, which starts 30 minutes early before the show. And we're just sitting here chit-chatting, talking to you, having a good time, you know, spilling the beans. But yeah, that's the box office roundup right there. And you can go add to that this week with some of those movies that we just talked about. And or you can just sit at home and stream something.
I mean, there's plenty in the theater to watch right now, though.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Late Night with the Devil is still in a couple of theaters if you want to try and watch
I
it.
I need to go see that.
Arthur the King's out there. Mm-hmm. Dune Part 2 is still there if you haven't seen it.
Go see it before it leaves theaters.
It continues to get praise from other directors. I think I saw an article
Steven Spielberg was like, yeah.
Yeah, and James Cameron was like, this is cinema. Kung Fu Panda 4 is out there if you're into that kind of thing. Ghostbusters is out there if you want to give it a shot. Monkey Man, you can
a lot
see
of movie, and a lot of movies like. Worth seeing. I mean, you know,
you can watch Godzilla and Kong mm-hmm. do the big monster
thing. I don't think any of those movies that we've reviewed on the show I would tell someone not to go see it in a theater. You know, I mean, none of them were bad enough to not go see in a theater. Even Ghostbusters, I had a good time watching the Ghostbusters. So go check it out. Go to the theater, guys. Go to the movies. It's fun. Keep the movie theaters alive. Keep them happening. Get A-List.
Oh, yeah. A-List is so worth it.
A-List is so worth it.
I mean, it's $25 a month, but at the same time...
That's two movies.
Yeah, that's the cost of less than two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you get three for a week. You get points that I turn into my snacks.
Every time.
At the
and we are not paid stand. By AMC or A-List. We are just...
But if they want to...
Then hit us up. So, Tony Jones says, great show, guys. Welcome to the Nightmare. Thanks, Tony, yes. On Twitch.
I wish I would have thought to wear my American Nightmare shirt that I've had ever since he left WWE.
Well, next time, you got tons of wrestling shirts.
I do got tons of wrestling shirts.
Well, all right, guys. Well, that's our show. We will see you guys next week. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. Tell your friends about the show. Have them tune in. Have them join us. It's a lot of fun. And don't forget about the movie over on Discord. We're keeping this show going right on Discord as soon as we sign off. So we will catch you on the flip.
See ya.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.